and it's Colossians 1, it's Colossians 2, 1 to 7. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches and of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom who are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live with him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is David Lynch, and I'm the pastor here at Summerlees Church. And great to be back with you again today for what is the last in our Fresh Church series. So I'm glad you could make it for this one. As you've heard from Evdoxia already, we're looking at gratitude. But before we dive in, I'd just like to lead us in a prayer, and we'll ask for God to help us during this time together. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God. Thank you that you are a God who desires to relate. You're not just a deity that's kind of made the world and then just left us alone, but you like to change us and relate to us. And most importantly for us, you love to grow us. And you do that through your word. Thank you for the way that you take these scriptures and then by the power of your Holy Spirit, you apply them to our hearts and our minds and then use them to change us and make us more like Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we study this topic this morning, that you would do that wonderful life-changing work and that we would all walk out of here this morning just that little bit more like Jesus than from when we came in. And we ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Okay, so as Evdoxia mentioned, today we're going to talk about gratitude and thankfulness. And as Evdoxia also mentioned, it's becoming an increasingly big thing these days. And in popular psychology, you'll hear more and more and more about gratitude and how important it is. And things like gratitude journaling and gratitude meditation, they're becoming really big. Now, one of the biggest promoters of gratitude, one of the guys that's sort of responsible for getting it really out there in the public sphere, is the mega life coach Tony Robbins, who's a guy who I always find quite interesting. And I was reading an interview by him the other day, or he was being interviewed, and he was describing his morning routines, describing the things that he does every day when he gets up. And every morning, he gives a big chunk of time to gratitude. So I just want to read to you some of the stuff he said. He said, I focus on three moments in my life that I'm grateful for. Why? Well, because gratitude is the antidote to the things that mess us up. You can't be angry and grateful simultaneously. You can't be fearful and grateful simultaneously. So gratitude is the solution to both anger and fear. And instead of just acting grateful, I think of specific situations that I'm grateful for, little ones and big ones. I do it every single day, and I step into those moments, and I feel the gratitude and the aliveness. Now, I don't agree with everything that Tony Robbins says, but I actually think he's really tapping into something with this little nugget that I just read out for you. I think this quite profoundly insightful, because when you are feeling grateful, it is hard to feel angry. It is hard to feel depressed or fearful at the same time. Gratitude does just have this amazing ability to shift the way that you think and the way that you feel about life. And actually, the big thing that I want to put to you today is that it's essential to our Christian freshness. Oops, there we go. So this is the big thing that I want to show you today. I actually think that thanking God regularly is vital for our Christian freshness. Now, Whilst I do think that Tony's onto something here, I'm not just promoting gratitude because of him. I'm promoting it because God, through his word, tells us that it should be a big part of our lives. And actually, the only reason that Tony is onto something is because God was onto it first. It's because it's how he made us. And you see it very clearly in that passage that Imogen read for us. Just look at it again with me. We're just going to read from verse 6 this time, but just see the gratitude, thankfulness theme emerge there. So Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because most of the things in those verses are things that we tend to prioritise in church and in our Christian lives. They're things that we like to give a lot of time to. Continuing in Jesus, yeah, no brainer. Being established in him, being built up in him, strengthening our faith. And if you were to cast your eyes up to verse 1 there, you see Paul doing something else that we do in ministry all the time as well. Struggling away, working hard, so that other people would be encouraged and come to know Jesus and have understanding. So all of that stuff is there. But note, alongside all of these things that we do prioritise and give a lot of time to, yeah, right alongside it is thankfulness. And it's not just a little bit of thankfulness here and there, not just the quick thanks for the food before a meal. Look at how he describes it. It's overflowing with thankfulness that's on view. Other translations have abounding in thanksgiving. And it's interesting, if you actually read through Paul's letters, you'll see that this is something that just comes up all the time. He's always thanking God for all kinds of things. This whole gratitude theme is a big thing for him. And I'm sure it contributed to his freshness. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, when you are feeling grateful, it is hard to feel bitter. It's hard to feel anxious or angry or fear or all of those things that do tend to burn us out in our Christian life.
And we're back. There we go. Hopefully this will... Okay, I think we're back. There we go. I'm just going to have to talk slightly bending down like this. Where were we? There are those things that do tend to send us stale in ministry, aren't they? Things like bitterness, anxiety, anger, fear, all those kinds of things. Thankfulness gets your mind off those things. It gets your mind off the things that might not be going the way that you want them to be going in your life. Off the things that aren't going right. And focused on the things that are going right, focused on the blessings, on the good things, on the things we can be thankful for. So it's my hope today that God might actually help us just cultivate this serious Christian gratitude thing, that we might be convicted to be a community that is continually overflowing with gratitude, overflowing with thankfulness, and that God would use that gratitude and that thankfulness to keep us fresh. Okay, so that's where we're heading. The way I want to do it is by sharing with you three big things, three big wonderful things that you get to be thankful about. And we're going to kind of go from the most important up to sort of the icing on the cake, if you like. So we're going to build up that way. So what's the first big thing that you get to be thankful for? Well, really, it'd be wrong to start anywhere else, wouldn't it, other than being thankful for Jesus. We get to be thankful for Jesus. One of the big things that Paul gives thanks for right back at the beginning of Colossians, back in chapter 1, is the saving work of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, I want to put up a little part from chapter 1 for you. We're going back. There it is. This is chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. And you'll see right there that actually thanking God for Jesus, for the saving work of Christ, is a big thing for Paul. He writes this, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, here's the big thing that I want you to understand, okay? Even if the rest of your life feels like a mess, even if everything else is going wrong, even if your relationship, your job, your finances, your mental health, your physical health, even if all of that feels like it's going down the toilet, even if you feel like you've got nothing else to be thankful for, if you're a Christian, you still have the saving work of Jesus. In Jesus, you have redemption. You have the forgiveness of sins, as it says in Colossians 1. And that means that every Christian always has something to be thankful for. Every Christian always has something to be thankful for. And it's not everything else is going wrong, but at least I can be thankful for Jesus. It's not that. It's, I can give thanks for Jesus, and sure, nothing else is that great at the moment, but all of that is secondary, fleeting, nothing compared to knowing him. In fact, in Philippians, the book that we looked at last week, another great fresh church book, in chapter 3, verse 7, Paul writes that he considers all things a loss compared to the all-surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now, the question is, why is Paul so big on Jesus and so down on everything else? Well, I think those verses that we looked at in Colossians 1 tell us that. Because Jesus has redeemed you, and because Jesus has brought you forgiveness from sins, verse 12, God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He has rescued you from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought you into the glorious kingdom of the Son that he loves. Now, what that means is that you've been qualified for a perfect eternal life in God's perfect eternal kingdom. You see, this life that you're in at the moment, it's so impacted by the dominion of darkness, isn't it? So impacted. It's a world of pain and disappointment and tears and hurt. Carly was praying about that before, but you've been rescued from that. That's not going to last forever. And then you will have a life that will last forever. And it will be a perfect life. And you know what? All of those things that we just think are so great in the here and now, all of those things that we so often just get all caught up in and upset about and worried about, all those things that drag us down and cause us stress and anxiety, they're all temporary. They're all fleeting. None of that stuff lasts. It's all got a used-by date written on it. Yeah. Sooner or later, it's going to perish. And sooner or later, so will you, that body you're sitting in right now. When you die, and you will die, you're not going to be able to take a single thing of it with you. But that kingdom that Jesus has qualified you for, that can't be taken away. And it doesn't have a used-by date on it. Put that up there. Yeah, it doesn't have a used-by date. Now, here's the thing that we need to get our heads around. It's so easy to lose this perspective. It's so easy to lose sight of the extraordinary riches that are yours in Christ Jesus. It's so easy to turn that phrase that Paul uses in Philippians on its head and say, well, I consider Jesus a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of whatever it might be for you. Money, health, career, popularity, things, other people, sex, whatever. But if that's how you think, you are open to disappointment. And if and when those things aren't working out the way that you hope for, you will find yourself stale. You will find that your spirituality doesn't have what it takes to stay fresh, because you're relying on all of these other wavering, temporary things to keep you feeling fresh and happy. If you foster a life of gratitude, though, and if that gratitude starts with the completed, indestructible work of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, that will afford you a freshness and a joy in Christ that stands strong regardless of what's happening in the rest of your life. You get to be thankful for Jesus. But you know what? I'm willing to bet that most, if not all of us, get to be thankful for a whole lot more as well. Yeah. See, I think God has gone above and well beyond in most of our lives and blessed us with a whole host of other things that we can be very thankful for as well. So, yes, we get to be thankful for Jesus, but we also get to be thankful for a whole host of good things that we enjoy. Thankful for the good things we enjoy. See, the reality is that most of us have got loads of other things that we can thank God for in addition to Jesus. Yeah. Just think for a minute. I mean, this is just something that we all have by virtue of just being Tasmanians. Yeah? Think of the beauty you get to enjoy every day. Yeah, the air that you breathe, the rain on your lawn. I was going to say the sun on your back, but it's not really shining today. But you do get that as well, yeah? The flowers, the birds, the ocean, the mountain. Yeah, we live in one of the most beautiful places on earth, and that's just something you get to look at every day. But then think of the peace we enjoy. Yeah, the lack of violence that you have to witness in your life. The human rights. Your families and friendships, the relationships you have, the abundance of food that we all have, the fresh drinking water. Think of the houses we live in. They're palatial compared to what most of the world's population live in. Even think of the wealth. Now, I know a lot of us feel like we're poor, but again, most of us have so much left over by the time we've paid for the bare essentials, don't we? Just to do whatever with. And I could go on and on and on and on. There's so many little things. You know, when you start to think about it, so much to be thankful for. And if you were to sit down, and I recommend you do this sometime, at the end of a day, and just start writing down all the things that you're grateful for. Now, that list would become pretty substantial without you having to think very hard, I would imagine. Yeah. God gives us so many good things. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 4 it says this. It says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Good gifts from God, just graciously given to you. Why? Just to enjoy them. Just to be accepted with thanksgiving to the glory of God. The thing is, of course, is that sometimes we struggle to get excited by these wonderful gifts. And I think there's two big reasons for that that I just want to work through. I think the first reason we struggle to get excited about them is that we just plain take things for granted half the time. So many of these incredible gifts that we just enjoy every day, we think of as things that just should be ours by right. They're just the standard things, aren't they, that everyone has. Nothing special about them. But you've got to remember that there are millions and millions of people in this world that if they just got to live your life for a day, it would knock their socks off, blow them away. It would be an amazing, unforgettable, luxurious experience. And just to have a tap in your house that you just turn on and then pure drinking water comes out of it. Just whenever you want. In fact, that pure drinking water is so accessible that you can use that same water to flush your toilet. Wait, you can flush your toilet? You know what I mean? We just take it for granted, don't we? And we spend so much time obsessing about on these additional things that most of the world's population don't get to obsess about, and we get angry at God because he hasn't given me this, and he hasn't given me this, and he hasn't given me this, when he's given me so much already. Thankfulness will help you stop that. Thankfulness will stop you taking things for granted because you start to notice and appreciate what you have already, and you get to say, actually, you know what? God has been so good to me. I'm so richly blessed. And when those thoughts and that gratitude shapes your mindset, you'd be amazed at how your whole outlook on life, it just gets transformed and reshaped, not to mention your Christian freshness. So it's this taking things for granted thing. That's the first problem. I think the other thing that stops us from accessing this gratitude just for all these basic gifts that we enjoy so often is that we lose sight of the fact that they're gifts. Yeah. We forget that they're gifts. We think we've earned them. Big thing in the modern West. We kind of looked at this when we looked at justification by faith a few weeks ago. This earning idea that's just so huge for us as modern Western people. But so often we don't look at these things as gifts. We look at them as things we've earned. After all, I was the one that worked hard at school. I did the degree. I got the job and worked my way up the ranks doing my time. I worked my guts out every week. I've earned all this. I'm entitled to all of this. Me, I did it, and when I'm the one that looks after me, when I earn it all through my blood, sweat, and tears, well, why should I be thankful for it? See how that works? I don't have to be thankful. The only person I've got to thank is myself for all the hard work I put in. But here's the thing. The only reason you've been able to do what you do, the only reason you've got what you've got, is because the Lord God has allowed it. He gave you your DNA. You didn't earn that. You didn't work for that. You did nothing to deserve it. But it's that mix of genes that has given you the abilities that you have, the drive that you have to achieve them. You didn't earn your family. You didn't choose it. You didn't earn or organize the right to be born in the modern West with all of the privilege and opportunity that that entails. You could just as easily have been born in the lowest caste in an Indian slum where the whole society is set up to ensure that you never do anything other than the lowest and worst paid jobs. Do you think you did something better to be sitting here in Hobart than that person is at the moment in India? Yeah. There's so much that has gone right in your life that could easily not have. You've done nothing to ensure that Hobart isn't in the same situation as Damascus. You had no hand in that whatsoever. Is the guy in Damascus that's just had his house and business literally blown up less than deserving than you are? Of course not. All of those things have come to you as totally undeserved, gracious gifts from God, and they're to be enjoyed with thanksgiving. See, we have so much to be thankful for. And if we're to stay fresh, we've got to stop taking it for granted. And we need to get comfortable with the fact that we are simply benefactors of a generous God who, for no other reason than grace, has blessed us with all these amazing things that we have and enjoy on a daily basis. And when you do get comfortable with that, And when that does overflow with thanksgiving, man, you will be astonished at how your perspective on life shifts. Well, we've got to keep moving. We've seen that we get to be thankful for Jesus. We get to be thankful for the good things that we enjoy. But finally, we get to be thankful for the good things that God's doing among us at Summerlees, for God's great work among us. This is really the icing on the cake, I think. We absolutely need to celebrate what God has done in our church. Last week I mentioned that actually Christian burnout and burnout in general is primarily about feeling like what you're doing isn't bearing any fruit. Remember we talked about that a little bit last week? It generally happens when you feel like what you're doing is going nowhere. And so what we did last week is we reorientated our expectations a bit about what success looks like. And we saw that really, ultimately, success is about us doing our very best for the Lord. And that meant that you actually are, if you're doing your very best serving God, it means you are getting somewhere, even if the results of your ministry aren't exactly what you were hoping for or had in mind, okay? We also notice, though, that it is just an extra wonderful blessing when God does use what you're doing to get those results that you do want. There's something just great about that, isn't it? When you put in the work and you see those results. There's just something that's an extra blessing about that. And I think as a church, we just need to stop for a moment. I've been wanting to do this for a while, but this has just kind of given me the opportunity to do it. I think we've actually got to take the time to just stop for a moment and look back at what's happened at our church over just the last couple of years since we adopted our 2020 vision. And you see that God's been doing some amazing work amongst us. It is actually quite staggering when you look back. See, we started 2015 with the vision to, under God, grow Summerlees to a church of 200 people by 2020 so that we could plant a church in Central Hobart. Now, when we made that call, we knew that things would need to change. We knew that if we were actually going to see this church grow, then we had to get busy. And so we really did. We tried all kinds of things. And us adopting this vision has already brought about some remarkable results that I think we've just got to celebrate and thank God for. Just to name a few of them, we started a massive discipleship push, which has seen the vast majority of our members find their way into discipleship relationships. You know, we set up this whole new leadership structure with our purpose teams because we knew that if we're going to grow, we couldn't stick with the old model of just the one pastor trying to do it all. And that gave birth to our purpose teams, those five leadership teams, none of which I'm a part of, that handle maturity and ministry and mission and community and gatherings, the core business of church. You know, they're growing teams. They've raised the quality of what we do in all kinds of ways. It means that a tremendous amount of stuff can now be done consistently, well, and simultaneously. I'm so thankful for that. We started our whole new evangelistic strategy called the Good Life Project. You know, try and reach people in this area. And we've had over 40 visitors go through that just in the first 2 years. And now we've got people in Unearthed doing the follow-up course. Again, such a blessing. We go on. You know, we knew if we're going to stay in that scout hall, we're never going to get to that 200 mark. And so after a long and arduous search, which has been really painful, but it's over. We're here. We've got this new venue, which is fantastic. We've got our new GC that we've just planted. And then we've got a whole ton of gospel partnerships. First of all, with Crossroads, saying that they wanted to partner with us to plant this church. You know, next with Luke, actually God's raised up a church planter. But also, and very significantly, we've got our new members that have come across from Vine. And I want to say this very carefully because we really do feel for you guys and grieve with you over what's happened, and we certainly wouldn't want that for anybody. But at the same time, we do really want you to know that we are just so thankful for you. We really are very thankful for you guys. And you're a blessing to us. You're very loved. You're very appreciated. And we're just pumped to have you come and join our church family and help us with this mission. So we really are just very, very thankful for you guys. Now, Just have a look at that, okay? That's just a snapshot. That's what God's been doing since we took on that vision a couple of years back. And of course, one of the things that I think shows just how far we've come is just the raw numbers of it. You know, back in 2015, we just had a bunch of people leave. We shrunk back down to a church of 93 people. And now, 2 years later, we're up to 144. And you're probably not aware of this, but just getting past that 100 mark as a church plant, that's really hard to do. You know, it's kind of nationally recognised that that's a hard thing to do. And there are sort of church planting experts out there in the Australian church planting scene that say that, well, you can't really do that with gospel communities and, you know, they're only ever a small church thing and you're never going to grow if you stick with that. But look what God's done. Yeah, we're now working at providing that gospel-centered, Summerlee-style community for 144 people. And it really has been God that's done it. I can tell you for a fact, it definitely wasn't me. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Yeah. And our leaders are an amazing bunch of people. I'm so thankful for them, but even they can't do this. God's done all this. He's done it using a bunch of flawed, imperfect people. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but have you ever thought about just how fragile church is? I do this all the time. It constantly terrifies me until I remember last week's talk and then I feel a bit better about it all. But yeah, it could all just fall apart in a moment, couldn't it? Because of our sinfulness. I'm the only one that gets paid to be here. You could all leave this week and then it would just be me on my own next week. Don't do that, by the way, because then I wouldn't be paid. And then I'd leave. Well, I'd just leave too, then, I suppose. But you know what I mean? Like, God keeps us together. God is the one that keeps this together. God is the one that makes us overcome all of the personal differences and disagreements, all of the hurts. He keeps us together despite the failures, despite the sin. He's the one that grows us. And some of these, I think we just need to be so thankful for that, don't we? Don't we just need to be overflowing with gratitude for that? And if we do, if we can get into this whole fresh gratitude thing, then I think by God's grace, we stand a very good chance of staying a fresh church long into the future. So what better thing to do than to pray now and start that gratitude journey? Will you do that with me? Let's thank God. Father, we are just so very thankful for you. We're thankful that you are the good, loving, gracious God that you are. And we thank you first and foremost and above all other things for the way that you have demonstrated that in the sending of your Son, who came to die in our place to qualify us for eternal life in his perfect kingdom. Lord, we must confess that so often we take that for granted. We confess that sometimes we elevate all of these other little things in life above Jesus, and we value them more, and we treasure them more, and we let them upset us and stress us and get us all worked up. Yet he is infinitely precious. He is so great. We deserve him so little, and yet he is your gracious gift to us, and he has secured perfect eternity for us. So we thank you for him. But Lord, we thank you just for the lives that we lead. And look, they do have their downs, they do have their struggles, they do have their pressures. We don't want to belittle that, but Lord, we are blessed. We don't deserve to live in the place that we live in. We don't deserve the abundance that we have. But again, that's just your goodness and your grace that you have lavished on us, these extras. And we're thankful for all of those little extras, for the houses that we have, for the relationships, for the clean air, the good water, the good food, the cars, the holidays, the nice things that we get to own and enjoy, all of them good, great gifts from you. And we thank you for those. And finally, Lord, we just thank you for the work that you've done amongst us. We know how broken and fallen and how much we are just failures so often when it comes to ministry and doing your work. and yet in spite of us, you carry on with your great mission. You've built this church. You hold us together. And so we don't want to take any credit for that. We just want to thank you for this great work that you do amongst us. And we pray, Lord, that you would make us a thankful people, a people of gratitude that just are throwing, overflowing with thankfulness all the time for all the good things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.